On your Rabbi Yisrael, continuing our discussion, an interesting Pesachei Tshuva on the page. The Pesachei Tshuva says as follows. So we've learnt that Echad HaMakiv VeEchad HaNikav, that it's an Issa, that the Gemara learns out that the Issa of Lois HaKifu Pas Roshchem goes as an Issa Lav on the person who's doing the cutting, the barber, and an Issa Lav on the person who's being, on the customer who's having the haircut. So, therefore, it says, and we also learnt that because it says, the Gemara learns out a drosha, that because in one posuk it says two things, it says, Lo sakifu pas roishchem, and lo sashchis es pas zakonecho, that you're not allowed to remove the payas, nor are you allowed to cut the corners of your beard. Yeah. Therefore, where the Gemara learns out a drosha, that somebody who doesn't have a beard, in other words, this word that you only get in a drosha, juxtaposition. Although because the two psukim, the two lavin are together, the issa of payas and the issa of shaving the beard. Therefore, women who do not have beards do not have the issa of payas either. Okay, so now comes the question, and we discussed yesterday that nevertheless we paskin that a lady may not do a haircut for a man, unless she can do the haircut for the man, but she needs to know what the rules are about the payas, she needs to know what the rules are about shaving, and she needs to know, she needs to be trained. And there are a lot of ladies who do haircuts for their husbands, there are a lot of ladies who do haircuts for their boys, and they need to know exactly what the rules are. Now, Vosat Zayin, today you can buy online, and you can buy in the shops, etc. There are a lot of people who shave their entire heads. Yeah, they shave their entire heads, the beard, the head, everything, they shave the lot. And you can buy a shaver that does that. You can buy a shaver which has got either four or six or even eight heads. They're all floating, round heads, yeah, on a sort of block. And a person can do his own haircut. He can shave himself all the way around the back and over the top, etc., etc., with this shaver, which has got the number of floating heads, so that the floating heads, they can fit into all the crevices and they can go over the bumps and the hair, etc., etc. So the Pesachei Tshuva says that if somebody does his own haircut, then he'll be over being the makif and the nikif. He could be over shtayim because he's doing the haircut and he's having the haircut. And therefore he says that it would actually be better for a man to ask his wife to do the haircut for him, yeah, than for him to give himself a haircut, right? Because she doesn't have the love of Lois Hakifu. So we say, yes, midrabbonon, she shouldn't do it, lift the iver, etc., etc. But her actual love, she doesn't have the love of Lois Hakifu. Yeah, so therefore he'll be over as the nikif. But he won't be over as the makif. Whereas if he does his own haircut, then he is both the makif and the nikif. Yeah, if he does his own haircut. And the same thing will be with if the lady doesn't know what the rules are about doing a haircut. Yeah, sorry, if the man doesn't know and the lady doesn't know, then it's better that the lady should do the haircut on the boys, for instance, than it is that the man should do it. Because if the man does it, he's over Lo Sakifu, he's both the Makiv and the Nikif. Yeah, so the Chochmah is obviously to know what the rules are. To know the rules and to know how to do a kosher haircut. That's the simplest thing, and then it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a yid, it could be a goy, it doesn't make any difference. But in a situation where there isn't that knowledge, or there isn't the facility for whatever reason to do a kosher haircut, then it's zicha better that a lady should do it than that a man should do it.
Start your day at Thoroughway, Northwest London. Tuesday, Kof Cheshvan, 11th November, sure. Rabbi Shlomi Wise, Shlita. Products containing grapes, part 2 of 2. This week's story was once of my family, Brody, Brody in Eriyor, takes place this coming Shabbos. In Mitzvah, Hashem, Yehi, Rotsu, and Shishka, Herov, Kenot, Rav Nachas, Mikhail, Yitzhi, Chalat, Sehem, Nishmas, our founder, Yosef Dovin, Reb Shimon, Michal, Tzvi, Itzkovitz, Zechron, and Lebrocho.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Slightly different position today. So last time, try to give a bit of background, possibly not quite in chronological order, and talk about certain aspects of grape and wine. So I'm I'm conscious of the time. I'm going to try and go through about 7 points. We'll see how many of them I actually get through. Very quickly. So, first of all, one of the Choshuva people who attended this year pointed out something. I just wasn't really going into it, but I mentioned about fruit cocktails. So, besides the question that I was talking about, which is the fact that you can have cut grapes within a fruit cocktail, just to point out that fruit cocktail is one of those products where, without realizing it, you can have a nice syrup, sugar syrup or whatever, or it could be fruit juice, and sometimes they change the fruit juice that's in there. So you can have a peach halves or whatever, and then all of a sudden, part of the year, due to supply or whatever, they'll put grape juice as opposed to pear juice or some other juice. So whenever buying products without a heksher, and maybe even if you do have a heksher, always good idea to read the ingredients and be careful. Things do change. Fruit juices, sometimes a few years ago there was a fruit juice that was completely fine, and then via Yom they changed the ingredients and they added a little bit of grape juice in.
Sorry, can I ask a fundamental question? I don't know whether you're going to cover it, but why is grape juice, which is non-alcoholic, a problem at all? Because it wouldn't have been used in Yayin Nesed. And surely non-alcoholic grape juice isn't a problem for Stanley and Nob, because you can say it's an apple juice or orange juice.
Okay. So the answer to that is the same answer to the question someone else asked about vinegar, which is that you've got to have a starting point. Everything starts with something. So the question is, it is true that we would assume, and maybe we'll talk about that soon, about Yayin Mevushel, that grape juice wouldn't be used in idolatrous services. It's also true that grape juice is not non-alcoholic, so it wouldn't be a problem in terms of a social lubricant and helping people drinking together. It wouldn't be such an issue. However, the question is, at what point, it starts off as a grape on a cluster in a vine and ends up as a bottle of wine, at what point does it become a problem? And the answer is, once you've crushed the grapes, this is something we discussed in the last year, which is that if you crush the grapes, even just crushing them in your hand like that isn't a problem, because it's a grape and now it's a mushed grape. The problem begins when you start to press it in a wine press, and a lot of what the again, unfortunately, I don't have time to go into the entire. I mean, Sam Yeinom or Yain Nesach, there's about 30 Simonim Shulchanot. You can imagine the vast Gemaros and etc. But the point is that if you are doing it with Kavona to make wine eventually, and it ferments naturally, you don't need to even add really yeast, it will do it itself. So at that point, that is when it kicks in. It is true that if you were to have a Jew cook it at some point or stop the process, then it no longer can become awesome. Okay, let's stick to the plan, because I've already 5 minutes in and I haven't got very far. So, excuse me, one second. I'm going to stick to my plan. Yeah, and then any questions after the shiur? Thank you very much. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to mention a psak which comes up in Or Chaim, which shows us a little bit of the attitude towards Tam Yehonim B'Zman Hazeh. It's a very strange psak by a rav called the Sefer is called the Be'er Esek, which is named after one of the wells in Sefer Bereishis, I think Yaakov Avinu. Anyway. It's a very strange psak, and most Achronim disagree with this psak. So the Behetev brings it down in Or Chaim Simon Reish Ayin Beis, and he talks about there the Truvas Be'er Esek in Simon Kuf Tes says Matir Levarich Ulakadesh Ulahavdil Al Stam Yeinom Shetakonas Abrochas Kodma Bzman Shetakonas Ugzeira Stam Yeinom. Okay. This is a very strange psak, but it is, as I say, from a genuine sefer, genuine posik, a very respectable. The basic was Rav Shabsai Be'er. He was a son-in-law of Rav Nachum Azaria of Fano, also known as the Ramami Pano in the Yeshiva world. It's a place, Di Fano. And he was an Italian posik, and he says this. What does he say? What is he saying? He's saying he's not being matis stam yeinom. He's not saying you can have stam yeinom. But unfortunately, there were, as I mentioned last time, there were places where people were not careful about this, and people did drink stam yeinom. So they went and didn't have kosher wine, they had non-kosher wine. Question is now, can you take that and use it for your kiddush and your havdalah, etc.? Normally, the psak halacha is, Shulchan Aruch brings down in Simon Kuf Tzadik Vav. It's from the Rambam that even on Isuri de Rabbanon, one is not allowed to make a bracha. Right? So you're not allowed to make a bracha on such a thing. And he's saying that you should. Could very well be he understood that, you know, you're basically going to do away with Kiddush and Avdalah. So not only are they going to be over on Stam Yeinam, they're also going to break down a lot of the traditions of Yiddishkeit, of mitzvahs, other mitzvahs. But most poskim disagree with him. So what's his rationale? His rationale is that brachas were instituted before the Gezer of Stam Yeinam, and therefore they, so to speak, superseded. His comparison is to an interesting case where a person makes a neder to fast every Monday and Thursday, and then the Chachamim made they made a gezeira and they said, no, you're not allowed to fast on this day, we're making a Yom Tov on this day. So the halacha is, Gemara and Tana says that since his neder of fasting came first, so therefore when the Chachamim come later, make a Yom Tov, he still fasts on that day. It's not mevatel his neder. So therefore he wants to say that since brachas, possibly he talks about Birch Samozen, but could be the other brachas, he says Tfilis from Anshe Knesset Gdola, possibly the brachas come, and the Kiddush and all these things come before the Takanos Stam Yeinam, and therefore, if you've got a clash between the two, not that there's a heter to have Stam Yeinam, but if you did, then that would be the correct thing to do. The Yavetz, amongst many others, there's quite a number of Achronim, the Yavetz in Chelik Aleph Simon Memhei, but it's already, the Behetiv already brings post-gim and other Achronim in Simon Kuf Tzadik Vav, the Beki Yosef, Ma'am Modcha, the Aruch HaShulchan, many argue on this, they say, I don't know, there's many things wrong with this. First of all, Chachamim have a koyach to be oikadova min atayr b'shev v'altas, never mind the Rabbonim. So for them to say that they're going to allow you to have Stam Yeinam to do these mitzvahs is almost absurd. He actually argues also, the Gemara suggests that the Gezerah of Stam Yeinam possibly dates from Pinchas, in which case, who told you that Stam Yeinam came after Brachas and Kiddush and all these things? And he also just says that we see clearly in every area of Halacha, he gives an example of second day Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, where you don't wear tefillin, because you say it's Yom Tov, and yet it's a Doraisa. And it's a Doraisa which is very strict, because we talk about Poish Yisrael B'Gufon. So if a person doesn't put on tefillin, it's a very chomo thing. And yet, Chazal made a second day Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, so definitely Chachom have a koyach to be oikah. Now, as I said, most of the Achronim disagree with this basic. What I was very surprised to see is that there is a one Pesach who seems to put hold of this, and that is the, you know, Paskin this, and that is the Gilyon Marsha, the very beginning of Hilchos Stam Yeinam. In the beginning, he has a Hakdama to Hilchos Stam Yeinam, Kuf Chaf Gimel, and he says there that even though he's a Das Yechida, he says he's Roy Lismachar, he brings the Knesset Yecheskel there, and he says that in short, based on the Ramah, that one can be soimich on this Dati Yachid because our general attitude to Stam Yeinam is, shall we say, not as strong as other rabbinic gezeiros, which, again, it's a bit of a pella. I don't know if we pass in like this. Gilyon Marsha, where would it come up nafka minna? I mean, who's, hopefully none of us are having Stam Yeinam. In a rare case, these things have happened where someone is, let's say, a chola, someone stuck in a hospital in the middle of nowhere, and they can't get grape juice. So do you tell them, make kiddush on challah and have dollar on challah? Or do you say, no, use grape juice, non-kosher grape juice, and make Stam Yeinam and use that? And that would be totally on this machalokus. I think generally most rabbanim today would follow the vast majority of poskim, not like the Gilyon Marsha and not like this Be'er, and they would tell you use challah. But okay, going from this onto this question about refuah. So there is Gemara Psachim Chof Hei, which explains that you're not allowed to use things, I'd say asher or other things to heal oneself, even if it's generally, Isuri Rabbanon, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Ezer brings from the Rashba, Sim Kuf Chaf Gimel, brings from the Rashba, the Tshuvas, that a person, a Chole, is allowed to have Isuri Rabbanon, something else on their own, but only if the Chole Shiesh Be Sakona. If it's the only one which you would allow for Chayla Shemes Sakana is Bishul Akum. So for the Goy to cook up something for the Chayla, even if he's not in a Sakana, that's allowed. But other Isurim not. The Ramah in Kuf Nun Hei Sif Gimel disagrees. And the Ramah says that a Chayla, even She'ein Boi Sakana, is allowed to use Isurei Drabonon for healing. Okay. The question, and this is based on a Rivosh in Simon Reish Nun Hei. However, the question is about Stamyeno. What is the halacha? And it seems that the Ramah says you could have possibly a bath of using something like Stamyeno. I don't know, I've not come across people bathing. I know it talks about it in the Torah about, I'm familiar with the pasuk about washing your clothing in wine and all these other things. There is such a concept of bathing in these things, but I don't know how common it is. Anyway, and therefore he says that that would be allowed, but derech shsiya, you wouldn't be allowed to drink stam yeinom for refuah purposes, for chole she'ein bo sakana. However, there is a tshuva of the Ramah, and this tshuva is very interesting because it's actually one, historically speaking, is very interesting because it got censored. It was considered so controversial, they removed it from the Truvas Ramah. It's printed, it's Kuf Chof Dalet. In many editions of the Ramah, this Truva is missing, and the Daki Truva points this out, brings various Achronim, the Nesiv Chaim, the Mogen Avraham brings this Truvas Ramah, and the Nesiv Chaim says it must be a Tal Sofer, there must be something wrong here, because it's not in the Truvas Ramah. It was considered controversial, because he says that, no, you can have even a drink of stam yeinom for chayla she'ein bo sakana, and there's a discussion in the poskim whether we pass like this. The Dakshu brings a whole long, as a, you look there, brings a very long discussion about it. And it seems that many poskim do paskin. The Mogen Avraham paskin this way, it seems, and others. So it's interesting that today. Now I should point out that we're obviously not talking about where you've got readily accessible kosher wine, and you say, oh, I'll have stam yeinom. We're not talking about that case. We're talking about where this is the only medicine that will help this person. We're not talking about, it's not hutra. It's not just you can do what you like. However, in a case of a person where a doctor told a person that this such and such an item is going to help the chola, it could be that we would pass him. The Prima Gadim doesn't seem to want to pass him like this. This Truvas Ramah says we should follow the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. However, the outpost came for passing this. I understand Rabbi Falk of Gateshead was noted towards this Truvas Ramah and allowed it in many circumstances to have things which contain grape extracts or wine, etc. It was censored because people thought that although the Ramah is talking about Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana, we're not talking about just anyone, but because there was already a widespread problem of people being very lenient about having stam yeinom, it wasn't like today you can go to a shop and find bottles and bottles of kosher wine. I mentioned last year that the Chacham Tzvi, later than the Ramah, about 100 years after, went and did something that changed things, that he sent shluchim to France and Italy to make kosher wine. But the Maharal strikes Chai V'Kaim, it seems it was very widespread that people drank non-kosher wine, stam yeinom. And this was a problem, and therefore they saw this Ramah, they said, ooh, you know, people will take this and say, ah, okay, they'll be very makel about it. So it was, as I say, censored for that reason, but it is, you can see it nowadays. Anyway, I think nowadays most princes have this. Okay, moving on. So, just to mention, this something similar comes up, where people have medications where you can have a gelatin capsule. Gelatin is a machlokas, whether it's asa or not. Most poskim say it's asa. It's also a point where you swallow the capsule, not really doing it derech achila. So there's very much to allow such a thing. However, the Kelvidi, I believe that they say, if you can get the same item and you can get it in a vegetarian capsule, why go and be makel and have gelatin, even if not derech achila? Again, it's dechuya, it's allowed, but if you can get a, and very often you can, most medications are vegetarian friendly, so go for that instead. Okay, just to mention, as I'm running out of time, there is an interesting question in the Darkei Tshuva when it talks about all these things. First of all, in Simon Kuf Ches, there's a question about Hanor of Stam Yeinom, and even a question if you can smell the Stam Yeinom, right? One of the things you need to do when you, in wine production or other things is the reach of he says the Shulchan Aruch says in Simkuf Ches Siif Hey Mutzel Lishoyf Bepiv Reach Yain Nesach Derech Nekev Shebechovis. You're allowed to test from the aroma, the smell of Stam Yeinom, or actually he says Yain Nesach, but you're not allowed to taste it. The Ramah says, and this is an interesting question. The Pesachei Teshuvah then Siif Gimel has a famous question from the Shaar Melech about snuff that people used to have. And there was a chashash that there was some Stam Yeinom mixed in. And he has a whole discussion there. There's a sofek whether the shishim, and is this called, you know, recha? And is this called having hanoah? What, you know, he's masik lekula, but he says better to machra, but he allows it. There is a, there's also a question, other similar questions like that. The Dakei Teshuva in Seif Cotton, there Kufches, in Seif Cotton Tzadik Dalet, talks about a sefer Shem Mishimon, who says that there was unfortunately a minag of the wine sellers to taste Stam Yeinom. Unfortunately, we talked about how in days gone by there were people who sold wine as their business, and this is questionable. The Ramah, right? We said the first Ramah in Stam Yeinom seems to allow it, but Doichuk is not very happy about it. Even Bezman Azeh, but there is an opinion that allows it, and there unfortunately people who would taste the Stam Yeinom, because you know you've got to know your schayer, you've got to know what you're selling, whether it's good or not. Now it's not clear to me whether it means to taste it and spit it out. The Pashto seems to be that it's not talking about swallowing the Stam Yeinom, but even that would be a question. And I saw, and I can't take responsibility for this, I saw a quote, I don't know if it's correct, from a sefer called Rishumei Aaron of Rav Aaron Felder, who says, apparently, that Rav Moshe Feinstein apparently allowed once a person who was a sommelier, I believe that's the, no, not sommelier, that's not the right word, because I think it's someone who pours it, but someone who tastes, a wine taster, maybe it was a Baal Teshuva, I don't know the background here, but are you allowed to taste non-kosher wine and spit it out? Again, this sort of question, and apparently he was mate. I don't know whether that is a look at, I presume that's not a look at chila at all, and I presume it was a specific case, but it's quite surprising to hear such a thing that such a thing is allowed. There we're not talking about even a chila she'in bo sakana. We're talking about someone who's doing it for their work, their business. So it does seem rather strange.
But is this similar to somebody tasting food on a tarnis?
Right, and normally we would say it's not allowed. Well, if it's a tarnis, it's not one of the, not Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
It could be, but there the problem, the food itself, and one has to put it out. There, the food itself is not osse, it's the zman that's the problem. Here, you're putting actual issa, there's no shaila, this is actual issa into your mouth, and that's more of a chiddush. And again, the Shulchan Aruch clearly says not, the Ramah says not. The Ramah who allows you possibly to sell wine, and even that's bedoicha, but let's say you could sell wine, the Ramah clearly says you're not allowed to be turned from the wine. So it's a bit strange, but again, these are the things. Okay, that's part of the reason why I mentioned this, is to give it a bit of a background to see how wide the spectrum is in terms of the attitudes to Stam Yeinom. Okay, so Yayim Mevushel, the Gemara, we talked about the Gemara in mentions a few times about the fact that if you have wine that's cooked, there's no longer an issa of Stam Yeinom. So if a goy pours it or touches it when it's Mevushel, it's not a problem. The question is why? Why is that a heter? So the Rambam says it's because we know that idolaters don't use this in their services. They only use things which are roi lahakrev, agabi mizbeach, things which you could use in the base of Mikdash. The Meiri doesn't quite say it that way. The Meiri says it's just not the way. They don't usually use yayim mevushel. Chazal understood they don't usually use cooked wine. However, the Rashba brings the Ramban and says, I don't understand this, because if that's the reason, there are many things that the goyim will use which are not roi l'mizbeach. Example, they can maybe sometimes use chometz, they use vinegar, they can use fruit. I was thinking there's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that talks about you're not allowed to sell to certain Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to sell a white chicken, and you're not allowed to sell sugar cane. The Mishnah says you're not allowed. Why? Because they use it in Avodah Zarah. Now, what's wrong with sugar cane? It's just a bit of a plant. It's not a, excuse, making sugar out of it. It's what's the problem? Okay, I think Bezman Azeh, I don't know if there's any sugar cane sellers, but I think maybe today would be allowed. But my point is, you see that Chazal were not looking at it as, oh, they only use yayin and only non-yayin. So he doesn't like this pshat. And the Ramban says, as long as it has the name wine, it hasn't significantly changed, then it's a problem. And therefore, if you add even a little bit of honey or something into it, it hasn't majorly changed the taste, you've got a problem. The Rambam holds, you add even a small amount of yeast, a small amount of honey, already it's already not a problem of Stam Yainim anymore. And Ramban explains that that the cooked wine is not the same taste as wine, regular wine, it's not the same thing, and therefore it's changed to the point where it's allowed. The Ra'ah has a different chart. He says that the chometz, vinegar, and yayin mevushel, he says, lechoshu chachomim be'elu l'mnesem she'en sipukai elam mu'at. Right? That he said, and he says the Chazal didn't make the same halacha for all things. He says it's very specific, the gzeiros. There is a question of the Rosh. The Rosh has brought down halacha, and what is the pshat in the Rosh? The Rosh seems to disagree with the Rambam, and he says if it's to do with